Good day. My name is Stuardo Glasser, and during the show, we will be celebrating Passover. Wow, you just listened to Louis Armstrong and Ray Charles doing a duet on that wonderful song called Go Down Moses. I hope you enjoyed that. This is Stuardo Glasser, and you're listening to The Passover Show. The origin of Passover dates back over 3,000 years when Jacob, a Hebrew, came to Egypt along with his 12 sons. Canaan, the land where they dwelt, was struck by a severe famine. Jacob pleaded with the Pharaoh to allow them to live in Egypt. The kindly Pharaoh granted them the permission and allowed them to live in the land of Goshen, the eastern part of the Nile Delta in Egypt. Jacob and his sons went there and started to live in peace. One of Jacob's sons, Joseph, even rose to acquire the post of viceroy over Egypt and the manager of Egypt's grain stores. Many years later, Jacob and his sons died, but the heirs never went back to their land. For many years, the Hebrews resided and made their living in Goshen. They dwelt there in relative harmony with the native Egyptians, but their rapidly growing population in the eyes of Egyptian royals posed a threat to the empire. The new pharaoh, unlike his ancestors, was harsh on the Hebrews and viewed them always with suspicion. He had forever seen them as outsiders and thought that the huge number of foreigners can join an enemy force and bring down the Egyptians' empire at any time. To keep them subjugated and quash their will, The pharaohs enslaved the entire Hebrew population and forced them to build two new cities that were the centers of food supply for the Egyptians. Though we managed to do that all right, the population of the Hebrews could not still be kept under check. So the pharaoh ordered his men to throw all newborn Hebrew boys into the waters of the Nile. For many days, nothing but cries and wails could be heard from Hebrew households as their infant boys were killed with unfailing regularity. The pharaoh's men followed his orders to the word. They raided every Hebrew home to check for any newborn male and brutally slaughtered it if they found any. One day, Theramuthius, one of Pharaoh's daughters, saw a tiny boat floating on the river while she was bathing with her handmaidens. Curious, she ordered them to bring it to her. Her surprise knew no bounds when she found the boat to be only a small craft of brushes, coated in pitch, with a newborn baby boy inside. The princess took pity on the infant and, upon the insistence of the little girl, Miriam, ordered a Hebrew woman, Jochebed, to look after the baby. Little did she know that Jochebed was actually the mother of the infant and Miriam his sister. The whole thing was a ploy by Jochebed to save her baby from the marauding soldiers of the pharaoh. Some years later, the princess adopted the child and gave him the name of Moses, meaning one who is drawn out, or one who is pulled out, as the princess really brought him out of the water. Little did the princess or the people of Egypt know at the time, least of all Jochebed, that the little boy was born to be the deliverer of the Hebrews.
This holiday, buy gefilte fish in gleaming glass jars, made in the finest tradition of Passover under strict rabbinical supervision.
Delicately light, always right. Gefilte fish in jars.
Choose your favorite brand at your local food market. A message from the Specialty Foods Trade Institute.
What you just heard was an old commercial for jars of gefilte fish. That's how an East Coast person says it, but it's actually gefilte fish. And that is a commercial that was probably recorded in the 40s on a little teeny, maybe 1,500-watt radio station back in New York. I'll talk to you a little bit about gefilte fish. It's a very interesting concoction that really is not something for everybody, but I happen to have really loved it in my time. That was, of course, before I was a vegetarian. Anyway, what it is, usually the best fish to use is a pike fish, and it's cleaned and filleted, and then it's steamed usually until it's cooked, and then it's ground up and mixed together with matzo meal and a little bit of usually margarine and some salt and pepper and spices and formed into little balls. And then it's slowly, I would say, boiled until it becomes sort of cooked. And what ends up happening is the fat and stuff from the fish ends up becoming mixed in with the water and becomes sort of a gelatinous mixture. So you take that off the stove, you let it cool, the balls get solid, and the gelatinous mixture gets a little bit hard, and usually it's put in a jar and put in the refrigerator and served on Passover. It's accompanied by usually a red, raw-style horseradish. And so you take a plate, you take the fish ball, and then you scoop some of that juice over the top of it, and you take a piece of matzah, which we'll talk a little bit more about since it is the matzah holiday, and you sort of dip it in there, and you put a little horseradish on it and eat it. It's delicious.
There is nothing that quite hits the spot, so your family will like it a lot, so when they're set to eat, just give them this treat, Manischewitz American Matzo. M-A-N-I-S-C-H-E-W-I-T-Z.
In the land of the purple sage, where the Lone Ranger is all the rage, every year without fail, I return to the trail, and I'll do it till I die of old age. I'm heading for the prairie where the laws are dietary, 'cause it's Passover time out on the range, where a cowhand never joshes when he's singing the fear cautious, and cedar is held around a campfire for a change. Give me lots of yippee-yay, lots of matzah, yippee-yay,
Let me eat until I've had my fill and get a stomach ache. Drink L'chaim, yippee-yi-yi, with cactus wine, yippee-yi-yi. Even if we stuff, there's not enough. Get them to rattlesnake. I'm heading for the prairie where the laws are dietary, 'cause it's Passover time out on the range, where bar mitzvah's a saloon that serves a beer with macaroon, and eggs are laid hard by kosher chicks, and no one thinks it strange. Give me lots of yippee-yi-yi, lots of matzah, yippee-yi-yi, loaded with gehakta buffalo, it's there for one and all. Drink L'chaim, yippee-yi-yi, with cactus wine, yippee-yi-yi. Then you'll start to dance to an old square dance at the Pesach Matzah Bowl.
Well, for all you Jewish cowboys out there, that was a little Passover Western swing song from the old days. Hope you enjoyed it and got some of the little keywords that were being sung in that song. Here's a little more of that Western sort of cowboy Passover stuff.
Howdy. My name is Harold Stern, the Jewish cowboy from Centerville, Texas. My drawl is second generation Texas, my horse is third generation Texas, and frankly, there's nothing so unusual about being a Jewish cowboy. You know, a lot of our ancestors lived off and rode over the land 2,000-3,000 years ago, and I've often been asked how people in ranch country observe the holidays, like Passover. Well, I can tell you straight away, it's much the same as you do. We have a wonderful Seder at home, and while we don't ride into the desert to bake our own unleavened bread, we sure get all the fixings from Manischewitz. Matzah, chicken soup, gefilte fish, sponge cake, macaroons, everything from soup to nosh. Down in Texas, we find it's a food for all seasons, for all people. Man, oh man, that's no bubble knife. Now, from another Jewish cowboy with a guitar, here's a kind of Western-style music I don't think you get to hear very often.
Father won't go, it won't hinder me. If Father won't go, it won't hinder me. I'm on my way.
Praise God.
I'm on my way. Mother won't go, it won't hinder me. If mother won't go, it won't hinder me. I'm on my way.
Praise God.
I'm on my way. If sister won't go, it won't hinder me. If sister won't go, it won't hinder me. If sister won't go, it won't hinder me. I'm on my way.
God.
I'm on my way.
Jews all over the world celebrate Passover in commemoration of their liberation from slavery in ancient Egypt and the passing over of the forces of destruction over their homes as the angel of death spared the firstborn of the Israelites on the eve of Exodus. On the first night of Passover, a special family meal called the Seder is held. During the week of Passover, all leaven is forbidden, so only unleavened bread such as matzah may be eaten during this period. Matzah symbolized both the suffering of the Hebrews in slavery in Egypt, as well as the haste with which they left Egypt during the Exodus. In ancient Egypt, more than 3,000 years ago, ruled by Pharaoh Ramses II, under him, land of Egypt prospered, for he was a strong and powerful ruler. One of the Pharaoh's closest friends and advisors was Moses, a fondling who had been brought up in the royal court by one of the princesses as her own son. But Moses was a Hebrew, not an Egyptian, and his people were slaves under Ramses II. One day, Moses saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew slave, and he was so angry that he killed the Egyptian. Moses then fled to Midian, where he lived for many years as a shepherd. One day, while tending his flock, Moses saw a burning bush. The bush burnt fiercely, but remained unharmed, and Moses understood that God, Yahweh, the Lord of Israel, was calling him to deliver his people, the Hebrews, from slavery in Egypt. Aaron, his brother, was to be his spokesperson, but Moses was to be Yahweh's special representative. Moses wondered how he would lead his people out of Egypt, but God promised Moses that he would help him. Moses and Aaron returned to Egypt and told the Pharaoh of God's wish and command that he let the Hebrews go, but Ramses refused, for he did not recognize their God as Yahweh, the Lord of Israel, he said. Moses then performed a miracle to convince Ramses of God's power. Aaron threw his staff upon the ground, and the staff turned into a snake, but Ramses remained unconvinced and refused to let the Hebrews go. The next morning, as Pharaoh was walking by the river, Moses and Aaron asked him again to let their people go. When Ramses refused, Aaron struck the Nile with his staff and turned the river into blood, so no one could drink from it, but Ramses remained unconvinced and still refused to let the Hebrews go. God then sent 9 plagues to Egypt, each worse than the earlier. With every plague, Ramses would be afraid and promised to let the Hebrews go. But as soon as God would lift the plague, he would back on his word and refuse the Hebrews their freedom once again. Then God sent one final terrible plague to the land of Egypt. He sent his angel of death to visit every single household in Egypt and take away the firstborn child. But Moses had warned the Hebrews and then told them to mark their doors with a special sign. So that night when the angel of death came to Egypt, he passed over the houses with a special sign and spared the firstborn of the Hebrews. This was the beginning of Passover, a Jewish festival that celebrates the passing over of the angel of death and the sparing of the firstborn of the Israelites. But the angel of death did not spare a single Egyptian family that night and took even the Pharaoh's son. In despair, the Pharaoh told Moses to take his people and leave Egypt forever. Moses and his people packed their belongings and left quickly as fast as they could before Ramses changed his mind again. The Israelites left so quickly, there wasn't even enough time for the dough to ferment and to be baked into bread. Instead, they made unleavened bread. Even today, during Passover week, only unleavened bread called matzah is eaten. And the matzah symbolizes the suffering of the Hebrews in bondage in Egypt, as well as the haste in which they left. Passover is also sometimes called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. When the Pharaoh realized that Moses and the Israelites had actually left Egypt, he sent his army after them to capture them and bring them back. The Pharaoh's army pursued the Israelites eastward to the Sea of Reeds, a papyrus lake which God enabled the Hebrews to cross safely, but the Egyptian army was then engulfed by the waters of the lake, and each and every Egyptian soldier perished. Moses then led his people to Mount Sinai, where Yahweh again revealed himself to Moses. Out of this revelation came the covenant between Yahweh and the people of Israel, and most important, the Ten Commandments. This is Stuardo Glasser, and you're enjoying my Passover show. I came across a really interesting, I guess you could call it a modern hip-hop Passover kind of mix or blend of a bunch of different things. And I thought right now would be a good time to take a little time to get up and move around, maybe dance around your living room a little bit before we continue a little bit more history and food and an interview that's coming up. So, I don't know how to explain this other than it centers around a traditional Passover song called Dayenu. And there's also a few little surprises in there that you might recognize. I hope you enjoy this.
What are you doing?
Me drink.
We're closed. Nice people don't drink on Pesach. They go to the synagogue.
And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with a great terribleness.
While the main story of Passover is read by Jews the world over, local customs and traditions have changed over time so that the festival has been adapted to reflect the life and routine of individual communities. As the exodus of the Jews from Egypt took place in the spring, Passover is always celebrated in the spring. It's celebrated for 8 days, and in the Reform part of the Jewish religion, 7 days, and always begins on the 15th day of the Hebrew month of Nisan. The first day commemorates the escape of the Jews from the 10th plague, while the remaining 7 days mark their liberation from slavery and, of course, the exodus from Egypt. In Israel, though, Passover is celebrated for 7 days, with the first and last days observed as legal holidays and as holy days, respectively. All the Jews abstain from work and observe these 2 days with special prayer services and holiday meals. So we go back to that Seder again. The Seder is held on the very first night. The 5 days in between are known as Chol Chamud, meaning festival days. It's time for family outings and picnics and lunches of matzah, hard-boiled eggs, fruits, vegetables, and other Passover treats such as macarons, those coconut little cookies, and homemade candies. While the modern Israeli Jews observe a 7-day holiday wherever they are, the Sephora Jews observe the festival for 8 days, the only exception being the Reform and Reconstructionist Jews. The Jews outside Israel conduct the Seder twice, on both the first and second night of Passover. Passover also, agriculturally, marks the beginning of the harvest season in Israel. However, little attention is paid to that agrarian aspect of the holiday. The primary observance of Passover still is related to the exodus from Egypt after 400 years of slavery. This is Stu Arto, and we're enjoying our Passover show. Coming up, we'll talk about the famous four questions of Passover and why they're asked every night in a call and response or a tradition, the first night, which is called the first Seder night. We're listening to Matisyahu.
if I forget the truth, then my words won't penetrate. Babylon burning in the blaze, can't see through the haze. Chop down all of them dirty ways. That's the price that you pay for selling lies to the youth. No way, not okay. Oh, no way, not okay. Hey. Ain't no one gonna break my stride.
This is Stuardo Glasser, and I'm hoping that you're enjoying our Passover program tonight. So we talked a lot tonight about food, and we talked about the Seder, which is the traditional meal celebrated on the first night. And right now, I'd just like to talk a little bit about the components of the Seder. There are six traditional items on the Seder plate, one being matzah, which is the crisp, flat, unleavened bread that we've talked about. Eating matzah on Passover commemorates the unleavened bread eaten by the Jews when they left Egypt. And they left so fast that they didn't have enough time for their normal dough to rise. So it really symbolizes the redemption and freedom, but also serves as a reminder to be humble and not to forget what life was like in servitude. The next thing on the plate is called maror and chareset. It is obligatory to eat maror, or bitter herbs, twice at each Seder. Traditionally, the bitter herbs may consist of either romaine lettuce, horseradish, or even endives, and the bitter taste of maror symbolizes the bitterness and harshness of slavery, which Jews endured during Egypt. For maror, many people mix freshly grated horseradish and cooked beets. They add a little sugar, and they make a condiment called cheren. Ooh, it's delicious. While whole horseradish root can be eaten, horseradish cooked or pickled is not considered valid for Seder by traditional Jews. The next thing is called charoset. Charoset is a sweet, dark-colored, lumpy paste formed of a special mixture of apples and nuts, a little wine and cinnamon, and served during the Seder. Its color and texture makes a symbol of the mortar that was used by the Jewish slaves to build the storehouses of ancient Egypt. The word chareset comes from the Hebrew word cheres, meaning clay. The chareset serves as an ancillary function to the maor. Before eating the maor, diners dip into the chareset. It gives an idea of how hard the Israelites worked in Egypt, combining a food that brings tears to the eyes. Despite its symbolism, the chareset is a very tasty concoction and is a favorite of children. I think they like it because it has a little bit of wine in it. A lot of times you add a little bit of honey and dates, and it gives it a little sweeter taste. Karpas is the next one. Karpas, one of the traditional rituals in the Passover Seder, karpas also refers to the vegetable, usually parsley, celery, or a boiled potato, that is dipped in liquid, usually salt water, and eaten during the occasion. The liquid may be any one of seven, which make food capable of becoming ritually impure, although salt water or vinegar are usually used. The idea behind the salt water is to symbolize the pain felt by Jews who can only eat simple foods during their slavery. I was told also it signifies tears, and it makes sense. Some have explained the dipping of karpas to symbolize Joseph's tunic being dipped into blood by his brothers. Zero is the Hebrew word for bone, and it's actually a piece of roasted or boiled meat, preferably a shank bone, and it represents the Korban Pesach, the ancient Passover sacrifice when the slaves sacrificed the lamb in the Temple of Jerusalem, roasted it and ate it as part of the meal on the first Seder night and on the eve of the Exodus. Since the destruction of the original temples, the roe serves as a visual reminder of the Pesach sacrifice. It is not eaten or handled during the Seder, and the present day's roe can come from whatever the family is eating, including the leg bone from a roast turkey. For vegetarians or anyone who just prefers not to use a bone, some rabbis suggest using a roasted beet. The sixth and final item is the beitzah. It's a roasted egg, symbolic of the Korban Shagiyah festival sacrifice that was offered in the temple in Jerusalem and roasted and eaten as part of the meal as well on the Seder night. Although both the Pesach sacrifice and the Shagiyah were meat offerings, the Shagiyah is commemorated by an egg, a symbol of mourning, as eggs are the first things served to mourners after a funeral. The Beitzah also recalls the grief over the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem in the year 70 CE and the inability to offer any kind of sacrifices in honor of the Pesach holiday. Since the destruction of the Temple, the Beitzah serves as a visual reminder of the Chayiyah. It is either not eaten or handled during the Seder, or eaten dipped in salt water, represents the tears, as I said. The Beitzah is also a symbol of spring, the season in which Passover is often celebrated. In many households, it's customary to use a brown egg on the Seder plate, and the egg should be baked or roasted if possible. Some Seder gatherings put additional items on the Seder plate. The special foods on Passover are also food for thought. Every item on the Seder plate abounds in meaning. For example, some Seders include an orange on the Seder plate to honor feminism, gay and lesbian rights. Many artistic Seder plates sold in Judaic stores have preformed spaces for each item. According to Jewish law, however, the items must be arranged in the order in which they will be used during the Seder, which the first item is to be placed on the closest to the leader of the Seder. A bowl of salt water, which is used for the two dippings of the Seder, once at the beginning and once at the end, is to dip in, remember the tears. It sometimes uses one of the six items, actually omitting the chereset. And before the popularity of a Passover Seder happened, and because of the Seder's plate's central position of the observance, the plate has become a very common outlet for Jewish artistic expression. Now that we have the Seder plate done, let's review the four questions. The first one is, why do we eat only matzah on Pesach, and not all kinds of other breads and crackers? Why do we eat bitter herbs, or maor, at our Seder? And at our Seder, why do we dip the parsley in the salt water and the bitter herbs in charoset? Why do we lean on a pillow while eating, and do not sit straight like on other nights? Well, leaning on the pillow signifies the comforts of freedom. As slaves, our ancestors had little comforts. Thus, we lean on a pillow to assert that we are free now and that we can sit straight or lean on a pillow as much as we like. Why do we dip the parsley in the salt water? And again, that's to commemorate the bitter days of slavery. And the salt water represents the tears. Why do we eat bitter herbs? Well, the bitter herbs are eaten to remind us of the bitterness of slavery and the harsh, cruel ways in which the Jewish people were treated as slaves under the Pharaoh of Egypt. And why do we eat only matzah? Matzah is to commemorate the rush out of Egypt, when the dough, normally used for baking bread, didn't have a chance to rise, and it had to be cooked on an open fire in most cases. It didn't have a chance to rise and thus became an unleavened cracker. The questions are usually asked in call and response. I'll recite it in Hebrew. The first part being the question, what makes this night different from all other nights? Ma nishtano halayla hazeh mikol halelos. And the response for the first question should be, Shebechol halelo anu ochlim afila parim achat halayla hazeh shidit pararim. The second part is, Shebechol halelo anu ochlim chemetu matzoh halayla hazeh klo matzoh. And the third one is, Shebechol halelo anu mochim sher yerachat halayla hazeh meyoror. And finally, Shebechol halelo anu ochlim bayim yoshavim bayim mashubim halayla hazeh kolo mishubim. That might bring back some memories. And I'll tell you what, I haven't recited that in a long time. Part of my singing, I hope it's okay. This is Stuardo Glasser, and we're enjoying Pesach. You just listened to the theme from Exodus by Henry Mancini that was originally scored for the movie Exodus, starring Paul Newman and Sal Mineo, which was the story of the formation of the State of Israel after World War II. I was fortunate enough earlier in the week to talk to a very good friend of mine from back east who's going to talk a little bit about the Passover meal. You know, the Passover meal, besides the descriptions that we gave you of the traditional Seder plate, always consisted of nice roast chicken, vegetables, something called noodle pudding, which was using the matzah and potatoes and made sort of a little square pudding. There was always soup, matzah ball soup. But a good friend of mine is going to talk to us right now. I got him on the phone. So let's have him describe his little Passover experience. Okay, as a special Passover treat, I have a good friend of mine, originally from Long Island, New York, and who's celebrated Passover for his whole life. And we're really happy today to have Kenny Fink on the line. You there, Kenny?
Yeah, hi, this is Duarte.
Hey, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Well, it's the Passover holiday, and this, you know, is the celebration of food. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you remember about Passover?
Yeah, well, the celebration of food really is what it was all about. You know, people ate enough to kill like two armies.
Definitely.
You know, it was like a 9,000-course meal that they had to take a break halfway through and go for a walk for an hour.
So, I remember those nights.
Yeah, right. There's everybody, the women would start to clean up and the men would go for a walk, and then the second round of dinner would begin.
Exactly.
Had all kinds of, you know, all the traditional dishes with a few creative additions to it.
Absolutely. So tell me, you have like sort of one of your mom's recipes you wanted to tell us about?
Well, yeah, I don't have the exact recipe in front of me, but I can give the gist of it. It's really pretty easy to do. Basically, what she would make instead of the regular knedels, which are made out of matzo meal, she would make potato knedels. So they're ground potato with a little bit of matzo meal, but it would make, instead of a light, fluffy ball, it makes one that's, like, dense.
Wow.
And she would make a stew and then grind up the meat and the vegetables and stuff that inside of it.
Hmm.
So she would make her mix. It would be ground potatoes with some matzo meal to thicken it up a bit and draining out the water, adding a little salt and pepper. And she would make this, you know, take a scoop and make a ball and then take a spoonful of the filling and push it to the center and then seal it over again. And then you boil them for a couple of minutes until they harden. Then serve them in your soup. My favorite actually was the next day, slicing them up.
Mm.
And then I'd fry them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it was like, oh, yeah, fried potatoes with some fried meat in the middle, and it was...
And what'd you do, fry them in a little butter and use some sour cream or something?
You got it.
Mm.
No sour cream.
No sour, that's right, can't have sour cream.
Can't do that.
I forgot about that.
I can, they can't.
Right, exactly, that's right. They didn't mix the milk and
the
dairy.
Yeah, right, they were kosher.
Well, it sounds really good. So what is your other most favorite memory of Passover?
Well, one of the things that she always made as a kid that always made the kids happy was she would make tzimmis.
Tzimmis, okay. Tell me about tzimmis.
Tzimmis was sweet potatoes and carrots cooked in sugar water.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they would like they would become like solid sugar.
Mm.
The carrots felt like, you know, like you ever get a piece of dried papaya?
Right, it's like that.
Right, it's like that, but wet.
Nice. Oh, fantastic.
So that one was always a great dish, too. And then she'd have the traditional. She had something that looked like a 2-gallon brandy snifter.
Mm.
And she would make eggs and salt water in that.
Nice.
I remember that one. That was always one that everybody liked. The big pleaser was always, you know, the knedlach. That was just something that you didn't get the rest of the year. Too much work.
Wow, that sounds great. Well, I think what I'll do is I'll have you maybe at some point write out the recipe and send it to me.
I can do that.
And then we'll post it on our website, and then people can get on there and copy it and make it at home.
Oh, wonderful.
Well,
that would be great. I'd love to do it. My mom would be very happy to know people are enjoying it.
It sounds really good. Well, it's been really good talking to you, and I appreciate it, and I hope you have a really happy seasonal Passover.
Yeah, I hope you do too.
I think I will.
Yeah, just like in the traditional story, I hope all the evils pass by your house.
Exactly. Well, we don't have any lamb's blood, but we'll try to get some maybe fake tomato juice and call it that and put it on the doorway.
Cool.
All right. Well, thanks, Kenny.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, Suato.
Right. Bye-bye. Well, that was Kenny Fink on the East Coast. Actually, he's on the West Coast. And I really thank him very much again for sharing that recipe. Well, I know the show is probably making everybody hungry. So let's go from Kenny Fink to a little bit more music. This is Bob Marley's version of Exodus. This is Stuarto Glasser, and you're listening to The Passover Show.
Movement of time. Pictures is proud to announce the return of the greatest motion picture of all time, Cecil B. DeMille's masterpiece, The Ten Commandments. Intact, uncut, the original film, acclaimed as a supreme emotional experience. What a story it tells. What loves it unveils. What majesty it encompasses. What drama it unfolds. One of the greatest adventure stories ever hurled from any book. Cecil B. DeMille's overwhelming masterpiece, The Ten Commandments, in Technicolor, from Paramount. Continuous performances, popular prices.
Well, what you just listened to was an original trailer from the movie The Ten Commandments, a Cecil B. DeMille production with Charlton Heston. I remember seeing that back in Brooklyn, New York, in a theater that was kind of like a Greek temple, actually, some of those old movie theaters were. And I remember I was so scared. I'm telling you, you know, after years of traditional Passover dinners and seders, going to see that movie when I was about 8 or 9 years old, scared the heck out of me, I'm telling you. Well, it's Passover. We're having a really nice time here for this hour, talking about Passover, and I hope that you're enjoying it. I'm bringing you little bits and pieces from Passover as I've researched it and as I remember it, and I really appreciate y'all being here. Got a couple of more little surprises for you before the show's over, so stick around.
Oh, hello, Pharaoh. Listen, the Jews have escaped, okay? So, yeah.
What? Ugh, that's impossible! Who let the Jews out?
Who? Jews.
Who let the Jews out?
Jews. 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 Jews.
Who let the Jews out?
Jews. 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 Jews.
Who let the Jews out?
Jews. 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 Jews.
Who let the Jews out?
Jews. Jews.
Who let the Jews out?
Who let the Jews out?
Who let the Jews out?
Who let the Jews out? Who let the Jews out?
Yes, this greeting has been brought to you by Schlepping Through the Alps. Click below to get your copy of the book everyone will be reading this spring. It's being called Brutally Comic. Probably because I'm on the cover. Yeah. Have a happy Passover. Okay? Thank you. Yes. Are we done?
Yeah. Well, that little ditty came from London, England. It's just a little clip that I found that's another expression of the Passover holiday. You know, people celebrate it as a time of freedom and of hope, and that's what it's about. So some of the songs are comical, some of them are a little bit more serious. Nevertheless, this Passover holiday is a time to understand the precious gift that we have of freedom and the right to be able to live the life that we want to live. This is Stuardo Glasser, and we're winding down our Passover show. We have a couple of more little things to play for you, and then we'll be saying Asisim Pesach, or Happy Passover. There's a couple of songs I'd like to play on my traditional Jewish holiday shows. And before we go, I'd like to play you this one, which was also played during our Hanukkah show. It's a live recording of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and it's called Light One Candle. And we'll light one candle tonight for all the people that we've lost and all the people that we love and for peace and freedom around the world. Here's Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Light one candle for the Maccabee children, the thanks that their light didn't die. Light one candle for the pain they endured when their right to exist was denied. Light one candle for the terrible sacrifice justice and freedom demand.
But light one candle for the wisdom to know when the peacemaker's time is at hand.
For the strength.
devil become our own foe. Light one candle for those who are suffering, pain we learned so long ago. Light one candle for all we believe in, that anger not tear us apart. Light one candle to bind us together, with peace as a song in our hearts. Don't let the light go out, because I see the soul that it is. Don't let the light go out, let it shine through our love and our tears.
This is Stuart O'Glasser. Thank you for joining me on The Passover Show. The Passover Show was co-produced by KSVR 91.7 FM at Skagit Valley College in Mount Vernon, Washington. Happy Passover.
When Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand.